I wanted a parade, a procession of acrobatic chipmunks, dancing squirrels, and a bagpipe band of red pandas and ferrets, complete with oversized balloon animals hovering overhead and intermittent bursts of edible sour string confetti. Instead, I settled for my pen's succinct scratch across the contract of my first apartment lease, accompanied by the firm handshake of the property manager. After exiting her office, I withdrew the translucent bag of sour gummy worms from my pocket and popped a yellow and green one in my mouth. Loneliness was a disease. A matchmaker was its cure, salvation, and babysitter. I, a newly minted matchmaker, had returned home. My calling, my responsibility, was to tend to the romantic needs of this large city. Toronto's previous matchmaker, Madame Chiang, had presided for 6 decades. I'd had the pleasure of meeting with her a few times, and she came across as the perfect balance of force and finesse, depending on what the situation or match called for. She had encouraged me to go to Shanghai for schooling and anointed me as her eventual successor. With her passing 3 years ago and my return, I claimed Toronto as my territory and filled the vacancy. Large glass windows illuminated the small round lobby of the Strawberry Fields condominium complex and the swirling blue mosaic marble floor. I was under the impression we were goldfish in a fishbowl left in the sunlight, jackets and coats swishing like fantails as our bulging eyes spied on fellow neighbors. A Chinese woman with white permed hair styled in a rounded, pyramid-shaped bob crisped at the edges approached me. This, paired with her large, dark brown eyes, gave her the air of an inquisitive Bichon Frise.
"Hello, are you the matchmaker who arrived from Shanghai?"
"Yes, I'm Sophie Goh. Pleased to meet you."
"I'm Mabel."
She called to another woman wearing a faux fur coat and an even puffier perm, hers dyed chocolate brown.
"And this is my friend Flora."
Flora smiled.
"Are you taking on clients yet?"
Immaterial spindly red threads, visible to a matchmaker, dangled unconnected from their hearts to their waists. The gauntness of their threads contrasted against a passing couple's plump linked one. These women were starving for love. The thinness reflected the extent of one's longing for romance, though not everyone wanted romantic love. So many full threads were left unmatched. The first time I saw the red threads, I thought they were the most beautiful, ethereal sight. Now I overlooked their beauty for their information. The threads joining several couples together glowed in varying red shades with knots of differing size. Each knot indicated the kinds of turmoil or hardship the relationship had undergone. Every tone, every place in the color spectrum, expressed the relationship's duration to the day. My fingers itched to unravel every tangle, from a tiny snag to a Gordian knot. Ever since I was young, I wanted to connect people together. The instinct to solve puzzles came naturally, and matchmaking, by extension, was a giant game with rewards, love and happiness, and the power to affect lives for the better. My favorite fairy tale had always been Cinderella, as the fairy godmother was the most powerful figure. She was a matchmaker, and I wanted to be like her. My reasons, however, weren't wholly altruistic. Matchmaking was my permanent ticket away from my mother and into a life where loneliness wasn't a constant companion. It meant freedom, physical, financial, and in every sense of the word. I'd waited for this moment since my gift emerged when I was 6 years old.